Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
You know, there's nobody that upsets me more on this show than me. And when I now...
Oh, I doubt that.
No, that's not... I know you'd like to say... There, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. And Josh is new to this. Josh will notice that Rob will be saying things all day long that'll like that, you know, which is, you know, just like the unboxing video, which I didn't know what that meant. And
yeah, that's how you speak to anything. A 10-year-old is unboxing.
Exactly. So it's just... But I'm so mad when I... Because we pride ourselves now on... doing things the way they should be done, and when there's a glitch,
right,
drives me nuts.
It was nothing of your fault. It was just, you know, some computer issues.
It just you don't know whether that.
Well,
is
the little hands are elsewhere, so it's not like someone was playing in your studio, right?
I don't think he's old enough. I think he's old enough to know better with that. So my son is away. Also, he's away at the University of Miami, and all is right with the world. I have my Christmas cup right here. By the way, this is my all-time favorite. For those of you that might think that "Don't Get Happy" is my philosophy, which it is, this says.
Does it have
on
writing
the outside,
on it?
Yeah, it says "Believe."
That's very nice.
Believe
is. I'm in
wonderful?
My third tier mug today, Mike. This is my heart mug. I don't like it as much. Great handle, but not a great design.
Very nice.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
I like my Elvis mug, and I like my big lobster mug that I bought in Maine. Mike,
hi. Okay, so let's start the show, shall we? I will tell you that as I approach this week, the age of 65, I have to say that I am.
Come on, that was a goose.
Josh,
for
you're
going
to find that when I'm under the weather, he will make every misstep known to mankind.
You know what happens? You're just more sensitive to it, Mike. I'm more the same than I've ever been.
All right,
let
me go
been.
Through it. All right, first of all, pre-show, something totally didn't make sense, right? Would that be accurate? Unboxing video would not
be
the way.
Yeah, you're right. You're
you
right.
Would describe it.
So I should have said I have an unboxing.
Then we're having a technical issue, and Rob texts me with, please double check your headphone connection, when I was listening to myself through my headphones. So I knew
okay,
it was
okay, but we didn't
that.
Know
and
you were listening
right
to
middle.
Yourself through the headphones. We didn't know this.
I didn't need that.
Had it been the solution, it would have been great.
Then I go just do a little shtick on the mug, and then you just do the exact same thing, which is, you know. And then I start to talk about heroes and the hands come together. So it's just the perfect storm. But I'm going to keep my
good morning.
Good morning, Josh.
You are under the weather, and I think it's because you are a little more sensitive. These are all things I would have done normally. They are. It's just me. I know. And that's why when you said you get maddest at yourself, I question it, because sometimes I've seen you get quite mad at other people too. I mean, but today I understand you're
really?
Angry with yourself. Yes, I understand it. Mike, I'm your ally.
Are you?
You mustn't demean me.
I think Michael's gone and all that energy is coming from Leesburg to you. Nice calm morning, calm evening, and now Leesburg's coming right at you.
Yeah, like a roaring fire.
So good morning and welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Having a little trouble with Rob's connectivity. It might be my connectivity. They seem to be doing some neighborhood work. That might have something to do with it.
Hopefully it's to get that fiber in.
I want them to do it. They're all set to go. I have to say that yesterday, in order for me to get into my neighborhood, and when you come to Florida, you'll see a lot of neighborhoods that have a little gate to keep the people out and to keep the people in, keep the old people in and the gribbly people out.
Yeah, I always thought the gates were to cut down on those silver alerts.
It's not anything exclusive to Florida at all. It's not. I mean, it's
right.
No, but there's definitely more in Florida.
definitely more down here. I mean, they just, that's their thing. That's the every new community they build, that's their thing. Gated. Because mm-hmm. people come down yeah. here and like what's a great example would be, I'm going to the grocery store yesterday and I'm walking into the grocery store and a lady is in front of me and they're walking at that speed that they walk down here where I'm giving them a couple of body lengths where, you know, I'm not going to be on their heels. I've had people that are younger than me that get up close behind me and it's annoying. So I'm giving them a little space and he grabs the little cart for the grocery store. And she turns around and looks at me in such a way as I might be a serial killer. And I think there is a lot of fear that goes on down here. And that's why the illusion, if you've got a bad person that wants to come into a neighborhood,
yeah,
that little silly gate is not going to prevent them, prevent anybody from getting in at all. It's not. It's
it
not
might
gonna
prevent
be a,
them from bringing their car in, though.
I think that the car would be problematic, but as far as if you want to say you know somebody that lives behind one of those foo-foo little gates,
okay,
and you want to off them, right? You can come down here, park your car, and
Let's say you're a murderer.
Let's say you are a horrible murderer. Let's say I'm not going to put it random. I'd like to make it like a real. You know somebody that lives behind the gate.
Yeah.
And you want them dead, Dom.
Dead, Dom.
You really want them dead. You would come over to, at least in my community, you have what I would describe as a scalable wall
yeah.
around the community. And it would be very, very easy. Not only that, but
well,
there
is... Well,
as
I'm picturing it, Mike, isn't there an area where you just sort of would have to wade through some bushes?
Not even that.
Yeah.
There is an old train track in the back of the community where there's a break in whatever obstacle you would have. You could
is that where the haunted conductor lives?
You could hop a little tiny fence back there, and you know, I could even do it. So you know, it's yeah.
Before this, I worked in the construction industry,
uh-huh.
and yes. what one thing that everyone that works on all these homes and all these new gated communities knows. Is the back way into the neighborhood where you don't have to go through the gate.
Yeah. yeah
there's the always a way around. It's
there's
a,
always
it's
a secret way?
Almost always.
Wow,
a way.
I had no idea.
Whether it's going down the clearing for the power lines.
Clearing.
There's an access road there.
Right.
Or sometimes they'll even just remove part of the fence so construction workers can go through here because right. the same people that live in the gated communities don't want to see the construction workers. So they'll put yes. like a back entrance in there.
Yes.
It's all it's for show.
Weird. Wow, it's like Disney.
It's weird. It's
like you have to hide the cast members.
And I, you know, growing up in a neighborhood where, you know, you stayed out till dark and your mom called you in for supper and that was
yeah.
That was it during the day.
When street lights come on.
I pine for that a little bit down here and because it kind of goes hand in hand with the elderly. But you got to go in. Since I wrecked my car, I don't have a little sticker that lets the thing go up and down. And that was another grandfather sighting when the lady who's seen me
a million times,
6 years of she's been there. And she sit there. Does your grandson always sit in that part of the car? And I said, grandson, he's my son. And my son, of course, loves it now because he enjoys Mrs. O'Mara's thrill when yes. I'm identified as the grandparent. You know, that's so it was delightful to deal with that. But I think that being in a community like this, it is something that I often think how neighborly is that? When the and by the way, it's
how is
not
your relationship the, with the lady at the gate? Just ongoing.
There are two that are the regulars that are okay. here for the two major shifts during the week, so they're there most of the time. One lady is I like her, and she's a curmudgeon, and she's really
older,
a ball buster, older. Oh yeah,
okay.
And the other lady is just super sweet. So my relationship is different with both of them, but really, really good.
Which
just
one?
Like,
which
and
one?
Those
called
people
you the
become part of your life. Those people become part well, yeah. of your life. You know.
Which one
and
called you a grandfather of the two?
The curmudgeonly lady, and it was legit. And the because she also said something. What did she say? Because she's old, like the people in the community.
Yeah.
She said, "Well, I don't. I've only seen you once." I said, "What are you talking about? You've seen me 100 times with this, and this is our son." And she gives it to me, and I give it to her. So it's such a delight for me. It's so much fun to talk to somebody
like that.
Mike,
I love the fact that the person, your front line of security for your entire neighborhood, lacks facial recognition. And what I would say to her if she said that is, hey, great job keeping us safe. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'll ask the other Floridian, Josh.
Yep.
Why do you think so many gated communities in the great state of Florida, where we both live?
To keep the gators out.
Now, gators or gator? Is gator a name for someone who like goes through the gate?
No, I always assume it's because of the amount of meth heads down here that are just wandering around. It will stop them.
Carla says down where she works that there is a guy that has his shirt off and rides a bicycle. He's probably about 40, and he rides a bicycle, and he looks like his body looks like an 11-year-old's, but his face betrays his real age.
Is it Ron DeSantis?
It is not Ron DeSantis, Rob, but this guy does look as though he is a Florida man.
Okay,
yeah, he was born here.
It appears because the bicycle appears to be his only possession. He is not. It doesn't even look like he's burdened with anything in his pockets. But I'm sure there's paraphernalia in there. I said, "Who is that?" I was picking her up the other day. I said, "Who is that?" "Oh, that's my friend." And I'm like, "No."
No,
and then
no.
She immediately said, "There's not engagement there." I said, "Because she's down there alone. You know, I worry about things
just
like
the occasional
that.
Bicycle ride."
Just the bicycle ride through the community, through the shopping center where she works, and I just said, well, please try to keep some space.
Is
you
he
just
embraced?
Never know, right?
Is he embraced by that neighborhood? I mean, obviously, Carla has interactions with her neighbors.
On my sole judgment of this situation, where I've looked from afar, if he is embraced, it's got to be somebody that's selling him crack. Because I just don't think that he would be embraced anyway. He's very, very noticeable, and he rides the bike with the freedom of an 8-year-old riding the bike. You know, with quick turns.
So it's not a ten speed bike.
No, it's a temporary car.
Yeah,
is what it is. You know,
does it have a basket on it?
It does not have a basket on it.
It's something he doesn't have to blow in to start.
This is true. That's a lot of that down here as well. This is the state. This is the state we live in, ladies and gentlemen. It really, really is. But anyway, I digress. I really want to hear about the meeting of you two guys, because over the weekend, you two had your very first meeting, which is very, very exciting. And I know that I just never had put two and two together with Josh's height, and I didn't realize he was as tall as he was. But where did you get together with Mr. Soroka, Rob Spiewak?
Frederick, Maryland. We went to Brewer's Alley.
Frederick?
Yeah. That I typed into an artificial intelligence. I said, hey, AI, what's a good midpoint to have lunch between Leesburg and Baltimore? And it spat out Frederick, Maryland. And I think we were within, 10 minutes of inconvenience for each other. I think yours was about an hour, you said?
Just over an hour.
Yeah, mine was just under an hour to get there. So
I loved, when I think of Frederick, because I cut my teeth in broadcasting up there.
Right.
And a buddy of mine, Dave DiNardo, who I still keep in touch with, one of the first, the first commercial radio station I really had a job at, DiNardo was on the show there. He into commercial real estate and retired from radio and had a wonderful career. Great guy, played golf with him a year ago, and really, really nice man. And I remember he was on WFMD. Frederick's first.
Hold it. Let me guess. W. Frederick.
Yes, there you go.
Maryland.
And he was up there and had a great, I remember Dave because Dave was follically challenged all the way back in his probably late 20s, early 30s.
Ouch, that's early.
And went with the buzz right away, went with the shave, which is, I thought, a really cool idea. So you go to Frederick. I love Frederick.
Mike, home of Hood University. Just so you know.
Right off the highway, right?
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about Frederick is that it does have about six blocks that are lovely.
Right.
But then you go out and then you see a lot of vape shops and convenience stores and stores and businesses that have names that could go either way. Like, I think there was one, it was called something like Golden Boys. And it was very indescript as to what it was, but I think it might have been...
Nondescript? You mean as far as you can't tell what it is?
I think it might have been adult entertainment. I don't know.
Like Golden Boys would be adult male
I think. Strippers. And that might not be the name, but it was something like that. And it's just when you're going back, you know, and you see like a 7-Eleven and then a nail place and then a nondescript convenience store, and then there's a facade that is reflective black glass that says Golden Boys or something like
but
that.
But you're not sure what it really
you're
said.
Not, I didn't stop because I had an appointment to make.
Oh, man, was I wish that, you'd done some research.
Was that Golden Care?
Maybe. Maybe.
That's what I'm looking it's up. Big golden, difference. Golden stores.
Golden big
Care
between.
Is an assisted living facility.
Well, no, it wasn't that then. But it had a or, name. Or I don't know why. It was something to me that smacked of adult entertainment. I should have written it down, Mike. But,
Golden Showers?
No, it wasn't that. That's a plumbing store, I think.
All right.
But sure we lots of street. Once you get past all of that and the vape stores and the nail salons, there is Old Town Frederick. And it is. It looks like Mayberry. It's beautiful.
Very
and
nice
it's
little
got,
town.
Got like art shops and antique shops and boutiques.
Thank you for the travel log of Frederick. What was it like meeting Josh?
We got to... Brewer's Alley, and I had trouble with the parking app because it's all street parking, and they look like old-fashioned parking meters.
What do you mean the parking app?
The parking meters look like old-fashioned parking meters on the street, and I even brought $2 in quarters to park there, and when you get out...
Did you anticipate that you were going to need to put coin? Does anybody put coins in a meter
no.
anymore?
No, he hasn't left his house in a while. He couldn't figure out the app to pay for his parking.
Well, I mean, there's got to be coin-operated parking meters somewhere, isn't there?
It's so true. No, they do it. They do
Park
it online.
Park Mobile is everywhere.
Well, I hate it.
God,
we're a cashless society, and I think it diminishes the importance of money. Anyway, it just didn't want to work for me, and I had to put all the information in and everything. So I was later than I wanted to be, but I did park. Went up to Brewer's Alley. Josh said he was like 1 or 2 minutes away. And Josh's trouble was finding the front door.
That's correct. They have multiple doors, and none of them are labeled which one to go in. They're just labeled which one's
and
not
to go in. And what was the name of this place? Brewer's Alley?
Yeah. It actually had it was quite good, and it had a good Yelp rating. So I chose it via, you know, I don't hang out in Frederick, so I had to go by.
Yeah, but it also would think with your history that it might be challenging to select a place like that as opposed to a place that
first. I went to their website, and it turns out they're a Coke property. So I said, you know what? Let's go. Let's do it. It got like
Coke
4.5
like K-O-C-H or Coke like C-O-K. Oh, I get it. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, like it's Pepsi. Owned by the Coke brothers.
The Coke brothers. Do you select places based on whether they serve 100%.
Coca-Cola? 100%.
I do as well. I get irritated if I sit down at a table and they offer me Pepsi.
That I had no idea. But there you go. There's brand loyalty. But my God, to select a place based on that would
imagine
be...
Imagine my discomfort when we took Julia down to VCU and found out the whole campus had gone Pepsi. Thank God she doesn't drink carbonated beverages.
Sugary, diabetes-laden beverages.
Yep. I don't know what kind of booze they drink like you, Mike, but if you're going to have a soda.
What's that? What is that?
You always get into the fact that I drink sugary beverages because, Mike, it's all I got, man. It's all I got left anymore, so let me have it. I don't get to have booze.
I thought you drank Dr. Pepper.
I do. Sometimes, but Coke is... See, if it's a Coke property, the restaurant is going to have Coke, and that's okay. If they have Dr. Pepper, maybe get a Dr. Pepper. But if you're in a place and you get tricked into ordering a Pepsi, forget it. You can't win. Yeah.
All right.
So okay. Coke is my second favorite, so that's what I go with. I also like ginger ale, but that's not really where you go. Anyway,
diet?
No, never diet, Mike. Those chemicals will kill you.
The sugar won't.
No. Sugar's
drove through,
natural.
This past weekend, drove through Big Sugar again. Right. Uh-huh. Up by Lake Okeechobee.
And look, Mike, and now you're sick, probably from the sugar.
You know what they said on one of the signs?
What?
Feeding the world. And Carla says, at the obvious, when we're driving along, she said, feeding the world with sugar.
Well, better sugar than high fructose corn syrup. Sugar is pure. Sugar comes from the ground. Sugar is God's gift to man.
Thank you. Thank you for that health update. I appreciate it.
So Josh comes in, and yes, he is tall. Now, it wasn't as striking to me as I believe to you.
You were probably more prepared for it than I was because we had never discussed his height leading up to that. I always thought he was a little
taller. And I'm a little taller than you. So it wasn't as striking. But yeah, he's very tall and very thin. And
very
he comes
thin.
In, and you know what? He looks just like his pictures. I knew him right away.
Well, it's odd going and having lunch together and meeting for the first time because we talk every day together.
Yeah,
right.
It was weird. Yeah.
And it's been over a month of that.
So it was nice. It was good. We got a nice table, and I ordered a burger and fries, and it was
No, I don't want to hear what
lovely.
You ordered. I want to know what it was like. What do you guys talk about?
But the one thing that threw me is what Josh ordered. I thought it was a weird order. And he said it was good, but Josh wouldn't tell him what you ordered.
I finished it for breakfast the next day as well.
And it was.
I got a pizza with pickles and jalapenos and a white cheddar pizza. So no red sauce.
Ew. I know.
It was very good.
It was very green.
Wait, hold on. A pizza with pickles on it?
With pickles and jalapenos.
So, and pickled jalapenos or regular jalapenos?
No, regular fresh jalapenos.
Yeah.
That's nasty.
I've never heard of it before. I saw it on the menu, so I ordered it. And
this was their thing, and you like jalapenos and you like pickles.
Right. And I've never seen it on a pizza before, and this is one of their, was their top pizza. So I said, why not?
So what was the flavor profile when you, I don't like jalapenos. I just don't. I don't, and I don't think they like me, if you know what I mean.
I hear you.
But as far as pickles, that fascinates me as to what the flavor profile might have been.
It was great. I really think the key to it was leaving off the tomato paste.
Okay, yeah, so there's not a lot of tomato on it?
There wasn't a lot of tomato, so the taste really came from the spice of the jalapenos and then the pickle.
Was it attractive, Rob, when you saw it delivered to the
table? It was striking, really. It was,
beauty.
Think of a white pizza, but it had lots of green on it. It looked really fresh and exciting, but I couldn't wrap my head around the flavor profile. And I asked Josh, I said, you know what they do in Iowa is they have sauerkraut on pizza.
That's horrible.
And he said, I don't like sauerkraut, but I thought that would be sort of like the pickles. I don't like a pizza to be overly spicy, so it wasn't for me. So anyway, I just thought it was a curious order.
Well, you didn't try it, though.
No, he offered me, he fed me a bite, but no, not really.
Here's a picture.
See, isn't it pretty?
It's different. I'll give you that. It's really, really different. And is it just the real dill pickle flavor when you bite into it?
No, the dill pickle, it's just subtle.
Subtle.
Okay. I guess because it's baked, so a lot of the juices of the pickle were out, and it was very
I'd
good
go
the next
for it, but
day
I mean,
cold.
The pickle itself, I would probably have a little trouble with the jalapenos.
I like jalapenos. I think they're great.
I have issues, digestive issues when I eat jalapeno peppers. I don't know what the hell it is, but I really, really do.
We have a restaurant out here that does a great calamari, and part of the calamari is they fry jalapenos with it, and it's great. Really
See,
fun.
If you like jalapeno, people love jalapeno peppers.
They're not too hot. It's not like a ghost pepper or anything.
Right.
It's a
Let me ask
heat.
One last. I'm sorry to obsess on the pizza, but I have to ask
I thought
one last
you'd be
question.
Interested in it. Yeah.
The if you ordered that particular dish, Josh, without the jalapenos, would it still be good? Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd just be a little less.
All right.
I'd order
it
be fine.
The jalapenos. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Sorry, Rob.
So we had immediately, like Josh said, we had just met for the first time, just laid eyes on each other, but we had months and months of conversation behind us. So there was never any awkward moments. It was really nice to meet him. And right. we talked about the show and some ideas he had and some ideas I had and stuff we can do looking forward. And it was, I would call it a pretty productive lunch.
All right, I'm ready right
lunch.
Now. Mm-hmm. Lay them on me.
All right. Well, one of them started yesterday.
Okay.
The best of feed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's going over very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People are really, mm-hmm. really happy with that. Yeah.
And we talked about a few surprises that we might have down the road. Stuff you're privy to, but we don't want to talk about yet.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And it was fun for me because, you know, we've been at this a long time. And Josh, and you know this, has a great enthusiasm and excitement for the future of the program, and it's contagious. So it was a fun talk to have.
Did you pepper him with any personal questions like I did? Josh, I think I inundated you with personal questions, didn't I? I'm almost like,
yeah, it was more like an interview.
Yes. Yes.
I did not.
It kind of was. It kind of was because I didn't know anything about him, really.
Right.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, I knew his history and I knew where he worked and I knew all that stuff, but I didn't know anything about the man himself. And so it was just like getting to know you more than, you know, the business of show. And, you know, Rob, you, you know, did you pry at all?
I didn't pry because a lot of the stuff that I think you've already pried out of him has come out on the show.
Probably.
Yeah, you've already, probably. You know, you've released it. But we had some nice small talk. We talked a little bit about family and what he does in the summer. And his he told me about his Camp Josh and all the things he does. It was very cool.
All right, well, and that's your impression of him. And, you know, obviously you met Rob for the first time. Your first impressions, Mr. Sawyer?
Rob is the same person he is on the show.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah. You know, we go to a restaurant. He wants to greet everyone, every employee, go out a different door to leave so he can thank the hostess on the way out also. So very friendly and personal.
That's wonderful. That's a that's beautiful, beautiful moment, you know.
Is it?
It's not my story.
Well, I mean,
I'm a little under the weather. Bear with me. Sometimes I try to keep this show moving, Rob, but sometimes it's on you, pal.
I understand. I will tell you, yeah, I thank people in the service industry. I do. It's just something I do. I thank grocers by name.
It's not a good guy thing.
No,
it's very nice to say thank you to servers and have a good relationship with people that are out there bringing you your food.
But I did do one stupid thing there is that they had an Orioles game on at the bar. And I was concerned that Josh might be missing his game.
Yeah, you confused me for a moment.
I said, shouldn't you be there? And it turned out it was a rerun, yeah.
Right.
It's nice he didn't bet me on the outcome because he probably could have taken me for a lot of money since he'd already seen it.
So what would you give the rating for the joint where you guys had the lunch? And how long did it last? How long did your little gathering last?
Hour 15, I think.
Okay.
Right.
That's interesting.
Okay. When I got back, my parking meter had expired despite all the quarters I pumped into it.
Can I ask this question?
Yes.
It seems
to
be a big deal for you. So
I don't like it.
But I mean,
it seems that that's something that shouldn't be done virtually.
If I was driving to any town,
right,
I wouldn't, and I'm going to a particular joint, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even process parking at all. I wouldn't even think about it. Had you had experience with going to this town in Maryland where parking was a thing? You seem to be thinking about it prior to you going, and I'm curious why that happened.
The only time I go to Frederick is to see the Keys play, and that's been a couple years. But that's fun to go see a minor league game up there.
When was the last time you went to see the Frederick Keys?
No, I'm saying that. But that was like 3 years ago. But on the Yelp website, it said parking is pay parking. And I thought, you know what? I'll bring some quarters. Because if it's a garage, they were vague. If it's a garage, I can pay in quarters. And if it's a parking meter, I can also use the quarters.
What do you think of Yelp?
No, you can.
I'm not a big Yelp fan. I don't really like Yelp.
I use it as a guide, but not as gospel.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, I knew nothing about the place. I knew nothing about the town and dining in the town, so I needed to find a place that people seem to like. A lot of locals commented after the fact that it's a very good place, one of the better places.
It was very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely a lot of activity there.
Did the town appear like so many towns? Because Frederick reminds me of Manassas, where I used to live a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
And how was the town doing? Was there a lot of empty retail space in the downtown
area? No. I think retail was pretty full up.
Because it's probably the bedroom community for D.C. and Baltimore
now,
right?
It seemed like a lot of tourists walking around.
Really? Okay.
A lot of people like to take a week or two and spend it in Frederick.
Right.
For vacation.
I noticed I parked behind another Florida car. So there's people from out of town there. And
that's
Rob,
exciting.
Just so you know, if you leave the house again, you can't use quarters in a parking garage anymore either.
They don't take cash at all?
No, they don't have people working them.
See, this is the problem, Mike. Money has no value anymore.
No, it's just the technology. That's really right. What it's all about. It's
I don't care for it.
It's the replacing people. Let the computer do it.
No. See, that's why Manassas has all those empty storefronts, because of your fancy computerized parking meters. They don't need people anymore. Pretty soon, Mike, Manassas will do an AI recreation of the Civil War, and we won't need actors to go out there and kill each other.
I think for your own benefit, because you are not getting any younger, I think it would behoove you, as Mr. Soroka referenced just a moment ago, to get out of your home more often.
All right.
You know, and go out, you know, and experience things. You do go to the occasional show, the occasional concert, but pretty much any long distance travel, there's only one place you visit, and that has a pre-done parking lot, and that, of course, is an amusement park known as King's Dominion.
Yeah,
and
that's
expanding
right.
your horizons, it, you know, wouldn't be a bad idea. I think it would be kind of cool.
By the way, King's Dominion takes cash for parking.
Well, that's probably very sweet of them.
That is going away. Because if you go to a ball game now, they are all cashless.
Why don't you just kick me in the teeth, Josh? I don't have much left. And now you're telling me that KD is not
going to
take cash?
When I attend a Florida Everblades hockey game, and congratulations for the three-peat. I know I didn't. I might have mentioned it briefly when it really happened, but the three-peat, three Kelly Cups in a row. That's the Stanley Cup of the ECHL, and they have done it three times, the Florida Everblades. I now cannot go to an Everblades game without the ticket on my phone. Not even a printed piece of paper. They want it on your device.
Yes.
That's how they do it. I think they might accept a printed piece, but I don't think so. Everybody that goes in there doesn't hand that big printed out piece of paper they have, and they put it. Why are you shaking your head?
No, they don't. They don't allow them printed, because at least for baseball games, they even have it moves. Like there's a little baseball that moves back and forth, so you can't even do a screenshot. Exactly.
To scan it to avoid fraud, correct?
Correct.
That's why baseball's dying, Mike.
Also, to control resale.
Yes. So people don't scam you and you go to the seats and there's somebody else sitting in your seat. That's how they get you. It's Rob, it's a big, beautiful world out there. It really is. You should just go out and drink it all in and not be frustrated.
What about a ticket, though? A ticket is a great thing. You have
Let's
a
take
ticket.
A break. Thank
no,
you
no, no.
Much.
Let's, Mike, to, yeah. join me in the break. Call me after the show, and we'll talk about tickets.
We'll talk about it. That'll be a lot of fun. You are listening to the Mike O'Meara Show. Later on, I'll talk about real heroes. Real heroes, and something my dear departed father taught me in a segment we call What I've Learned.
And I bet your father liked to have a ticket.
Like that Birkenberry whiskey. Hey, everybody. Let me tell you about Liquid IV. Summertime, hot time, sweaty time, humid time. Flooded car time. Thirsty time. Hey, by the way, I don't know yet.
What's really? No update?
No. That's just an bad. Update on how much it's going to cost to do the diagnostic.
Those are damaging words.
Let's see. We're talking about Liquid IV. Rehydration for you. Hot weather requires extraordinary hydration. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. The secret is LIV HydraScience, the science-backed formula that's an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients to turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. It's a zero-sugar hydration solution with no artificial sweeteners, clinically tested to hydrate more than water alone. And I love it. Tear, pour, live more. One stick, 16 ounces of water. Put it in there. It hydrates better than water alone. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. To be perfectly honest with you, during today's show, I came in here with two things that I had ingested. Two cups of coffee, and a Vicks product, a family of products, DayQuil, And I am telling you right now, all of the fluid has slowly been squeezed out of my body right now. I desperately need a Liquid IV. 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use our promo code TMOS. You will love it, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is.
And a shout out, Mike, to the whole family of Vicks Lavoris products.
Yeah, I live on this stuff. I really do.
I know you do.
It helps me. And last night, 10 p.m. straight through till 6 a.m. this morning, which for me is an accomplishment. I'm very happy with that. We start today with some Olympic news that I'd share with you. Page6.com. That is part of the New York Post family of products.
Yeah.
They say that Halle Berry... All right. We'll carry the Olympic torch down a street called the Croisette in Cannes, France, today. So isn't that nice? I just picture...
You're doing the torch already?
I think so. A source says, quote, "It'll be so amazing to see her carrying the torch. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity." If you're saying, hey, she's not an athlete, what's going on? Plenty of celebs have helped carry the Olympic torch over the years. Mm-hmm. Anne Curry... Oh, my God. Muhammad Ali, Magic Johnson, Diane Sawyer, Lance Bass, Sylvester Stallone, Ryan Seacrest did it.
Boo! And
John Legend carried the torch. But I immediately thought of, I'm sorry to be Pervolino, but I thought of Halle Berry running.
Is she 70 now? How old is she?
There she is with the torch.
There she is, because it happened probably earlier today, I would think. Do you think she's, I'm terrible. I'm not going to be sexist. No, I'm not going to be sexist.
That's her on the left, Mike.
That's wonderful. That's a weird looking torch. It almost looks like it's a shell from a gun.
You may make fun of that torch. That torch saved my marriage.
That's beautiful. So Halle is carrying the torch, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't realize they'd be doing the. You remember when we used to speak to the Olympic torch on the show?
I don't. I'm trying to. I know we did a bit like that. I'm not sure. It was the Olympic flame, not the Olympic torch.
Oh, but he lived above the torch. Yeah,
yes,
I'm sorry.
He lived the Olympic flame.
Look at her. There she is. She's so happy.
Oh, wearing a little sweat outfit or something like that.
Yeah, well, because she's an athlete. T-shirt.
That's beautiful. Yeah. That is beautiful. Way to go, Halle. Noah Schnapp. Are you familiar with this guy? Do you know the name?
He's a Stranger Things kid, right?
Yeah, he's one of the kids. He's the mousy, skinny kid from Stranger Things.
Okay.
You know the one I'm talking about?
I do.
He's kind of a very frail-looking kid.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't frail when he did this. He got kicked out of a bar in New York City over the weekend for being drunk and out of control. And the problem with this is that he's only 19 years old.
Noah
Schnapp.
Yes.
Was at a Manhattan club called The Palace early Saturday morning. You know, Manhattan, all night long, kids. You can hang out there and nothing good happens after midnight. He got mad because people wouldn't take tequila shots with him. Well, he shouldn't be drinking those anyway.
That is a great example of drunk behavior. When you get mad that no one is going to keep up with
Come on. Well, they were not taking the shots due to that he was underage. A source says he became, quote, so aggressively wasted that security eventually booted him. He ended up sitting on the curb for about a half an hour. That's a drunk move.
Yep.
I've never experienced that.
I've done it.
Yeah, I have too. He was, quote, clearly unable to stand. Then he left. So come on, mom and dad. Supervise that kid, really. I mean, give me a break, okay? I don't know why, but he was.
Did he go back to the Upside Down to visit Barb?
Barb, Rob's favorite character from Stranger Things. I remember that. Barb was the redheaded girl, right?
Yeah, Barb was hot.
I love that.
Red hot.
A new study found sitting on your butt all day might kill you, but maybe not if you do one thing you already enjoy doing. It tracked people for 13 years. I love studies that go a long time. I really do. Because I think they're credible.
Yeah.
They found the ones who sat around drinking coffee. There we go.
Mike.
Right in my belief.
This are you.
24% less likely to die young. That's compared to sedentary people who didn't drink coffee.
That's weird, because if you're drinking that much coffee, reason to get up, because A, you're jazzed by the caffeine, and then you got to go to the bathroom too.
They found that sitting for more than 6 hours a day is not good, no matter what.
Which
isn't too shocking. But for some reason, have you ever guesstimated how long you spend on your ass all day?
It has never exceeded 24 hours.
That's a good point. I'm trying to think, when I'm done with this show,
yeah,
and I'm not out on the golf course, and I'm not running around, I park my ass in the chair. I think a lot of people do. I think a lot more people do it than would admit to it.
But
as far
it,
as like, how much time they're sitting. And now it's computers as well as just
watching. Yeah, it makes you have to do it. Josh.
I think you're supposed to get up like once an hour, even if it's just a stretch or something.
If you are watching television, you really should be up and down. Like figure out excuses to be up and down. And by the way, I had a little blip, and I get them occasionally. I had one last summer up in Maine, and I've had it recently with the weight where I just haven't been. Once again, the key to the kingdom, as well as all those meds that I take, logging the food, logging the weight. Logging the food, logging the weight. Because no matter what you do, no matter what medication you're on, if you do not have your calories counted and know what you're putting into your body, you could be screwed. So be aware of that. And I totally agree with the up and down deal.
Does it count if you just raise and lower your recliner?
It does not. Anyway, 6 hours, not good. Ideally, you want to be sitting less than 6 hours and drinking coffee. Non-coffee drinkers who sat for 6+ hours a day were 58% more likely to die young than coffee drinkers who sat for less than 6 hours. Now, you don't drink coffee, correct?
I drink tea, as a rule,
And you drink tea, and what else do you drink?
Sugary sodas, Mike, every day.
If your job requires
you... What do you drink?
I drink black coffee.
Yes.
And I drink Liquid IV.
And what about in the evening?
I will occasionally have a Diet Coke.
And the evening?
Other than that, and then a tremendous amount of alcohol.
See?
If your job requires you to sit in front of a computer all day, drinking coffee while you do it might at least help. And drinking a lot of it might even be better. Did you ever, Josh, are you a coffee drinker or a soda drinker?
I drink Red Bull.
You drink
coffee. Coffee
that's
on
horrible for you, right? Isn't that horrible to drink?
Your heart
that
will
stuff?
Explode, yeah.
I don't know. They're studying if it causes cancer now. That was the latest article sent to me.
Thank you. The ones who drank more than 2 cups a day were the least likely to buy the farm.
Mike, was this study conducted by Folgers?
Folgers freeze dried crystals.
It sounds like it's Big Coffee that's behind that. Come on.
Yeah, but I think that I've heard it before. It's not like it's a new story, so be aware of that.
Taster's
a new poll
choice.
Found more people than ever are actively avoiding the news. Put me in that category. Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? The man is a force. He is still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. But what's mind-blowing is that he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than the guys half his age. It is all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and down it. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Rob, you're liking it, right?
Yeah, I'm taking it. Robert's taking it. We both love it. And as someone who loves lemonade, it does taste like strawberry lemonade. Every day I take it, my digestion is smoother. I have energy. I feel younger. It's great stuff.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/TMOS for up to 44% off your regular priced order. And remember, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/TMOS today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary. I do not look at the news nearly as much as I used to, other than for this show each and every
day. I'm not even listening right now.
It's too stressful. Not just here, but other countries too. 39% of people worldwide said they sometimes or often avoid reading or watching the news. That's up from 29% when they did the same survey in 2017. Here's the problem I have.
Okay.
I believe that the media wants the horse race, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the media wants anything other than the big battle Royale. That's why politics in America has turned into pure spectator sport. That's why we treat it like a football game and not something that truly affects the country. And they know that, or they believe, because I'd love to look at the overall ratings for news stations if they've gone down, because I do believe people have soured on it and people have burned on it. But they just, I believe this with all of my heart, that the main ingredient to news right now, leading up to the 2024 election, will be, it's so close,
yeah,
nobody has any idea. Because if they don't say it's close, you can't bring in your talking heads. You can't bring in your speculators. You can't bring in Steve Kornacki to jump like a jumping bean in front of the screen. You can't
also can't assign any urgency to the story if it's not close.
Yeah,
you got to
exactly.
get the. They can bring in all those talking heads they want, but what they need to bring in are the viewers, and they have to create a story.
I don't mind telling people what I believe. It's not sexy, and it's not. I believe, and it's not because I prefer the candidate, which I do. It's that I just have talked to probably more people on the other side, and I do not believe they are going to get out in force like they did the last time. I just don't think it's going to happen. Do I think that if the people that say, well, I kind of don't like Trump, but I'm a Republican, if they go to the polls,
yeah,
they will vote for Trump.
Sure.
My issue is going to the polls. So my prediction is, I think that on the Democratic side, there's much more urgency. I believe that. That's just the way I feel about it.
No, that's true. On the Republican side, it's a lot of, they felt screwed last time, so why even bother?
Why even
bother?
And
you're going to see
because they didn't get the big win.
Low turnout.
That's a big, big deal. So I think that's not sexy to say, because you hear all the polls that, especially battleground states and all that, I think they ramp that up as much as possible on all the news sources, left or right. So you ready? I think it's going to be a, I don't think it's going to be a landslide, but I think it's going to be a Biden victory and a more comfortable victory than it was the last time. I said it today. What is today's date? This
June
is
18th.
Me saying that on June 18th. I won't be talking about it a lot until we get right up to the moment. So just remember that. And I wouldn't mind having some of our guys from the Lincoln Project come back on too.
And my prediction, my prediction is that it's going to be won by a third party candidate.
And the third party candidate is going to be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, he's a Kennedy. How can you go wrong?
A Kennedy that sounds like Katharine Hepburn.
And
how can you possibly go wrong?
He's married to the wife from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
There it is.
Bring showbiz back to Hollywood.
Perfect storm, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, Washington. Duh.
So 46% of people say they're very or extremely interested in the news now, down from 63% for a while. So we'll see with that. Finally today, authorities in California said a single bear was responsible for 5 break-ins in a 2-hour period, and one of the homes was occupied at the time. The Sierra Madre Police Department confirmed officers responded Thursday to a northeastern neighborhood where a bear had broken into 4 homes and a garage between 12:30 p.m. and 2:15 p.m. So a brazen middle-of-the-day robbery.
Really uncalled for bear.
One homeowner said, it was a very polite bear. It just opened up the freezer and took my packaged chicken. The neighbor filmed it with the chicken hanging from its mouth. The lady said that the bear dropped the frozen chicken nearby, which police returned to her. And she cooked it for dinner that night.
Wow.
Yum, yum, yum. The bear said he would not have been able to successfully do this if it hadn't been that flimsy gated guard that let him through in the middle of the day. Said, no problem whatsoever. We will take a break when we
come
back.
I hear they identified the bear, Mike. It was William Refrigerator Perry.
Yes, William the Fridge Perry. Oh, what a player. We'll come back with an unboxing after this. Hello, friends. Listen up. We're continuing to maximize your bonus show experience because easier access means more fun. Remember, the bonus show is now available only on a monthly basis. However, current yearly subscriptions will stay valid until they expire. So that's nice. But keep in mind, Old monthly subscriptions from the previous site will not auto-renew. So if you had one, please resubscribe at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It supports the show, and you can also enjoy special grandfathered pricing for this week, only to ease the transition and avoid the new rate. So act fast. Plus, and this is cool, we now offer a commercial-free subscription option for an ad-free experience on The Daily Show. Check it out. For any issues or assistance, contact that man down at the bottom of your screen. The man with the mohawk.
Here he is.
Josh Soroka, ladies and gentlemen. Might really not be a mohawk. Well, how would you describe that hairdo, Josh?
I have been told it's a mohawk by my haircut person.
The barber. Haircut person?
Barber, that's the word.
It is a mohawk.
It is a modern mohawk.
To the haircut person. Josh is the guy to help you. Email support haircut at MikeO'MaraShow.com. For more details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeO'MaraShow.com or contact 7 on your side. And Ed Turney. Oh, no, I'm sorry, wrong guy. Ask for Paul Berry.
Yes.
Is Paul Berry 80 now, Rob?
Yes, he is. But still with us.
And he's a licensed realtor in Maryland.
He is. Make him your next home guide.
Wow.
Seven on your side.
That stopped.
You know what? When I met Paul Berry, he's remarkably short.
Little man.
Yeah, he is. Great guy.
Very, very cool guy. I have a Paul Berry story. Paul Berry and I.
Well, let's kill the music. We're done with the spot, right?
We are.
Get the bonus show? Okay.
Paul Berry and I were tasked with being the first tee announcers at a major golf competition called the President's Cup.
And you should also give a thumbnail of who Paul Berry is, because he's legendary in D.C.
Paul Berry
is
a local TV anchor, and he was a legend in TV broadcasting many, many years on the ABC affiliate here in Washington, D.C., and really some of the real local pioneering African-American anchor people came from this market, and Paul Berry was no exception. Just a wonderful guy. I liked the guy. I got along really well. He just had a... he had a presence about him. He was bigger than life, and even though he was short in stature, and I loved Paul. It was just a lot of fun. So they tasked Paul and me. I'm going to do the morning tea times, or Paul's going to do the morning tea times because no, that's wrong. I'm going to do the mornings, and Paul's going to do the afternooners.
Okay.
It doesn't really matter to the story what that is. And what you do is, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from the international team, Retief Goosen. Those are the players of the time. Tiger Woods, Mark O'Mara. This is years and years ago as I'm doing it. It was one of the thrills of my life to be able to do that. And to announce the players was super, super cool. Paul Berry in the afternoon was doing the afternoon introductions. Now, one of the things they do, the PGA Tour, who sponsors this event, who are the ruling body over the President's Cup, had meetings with us prior to the tournament, and it becomes evident that they are very tight-assed as far as the way they want the show run, which is fine. It's a prestigious golf tournament. It's very, very important that decorum is fine. I get that. And I think that when I first got tapped to do it, I did it for two of them. Thank you to the late George Berger for allowing me to do that and getting that opportunity. They were very concerned about making sure nobody stepped out of line. So flash forward to, this is back in the day of H.W. Bush, and George W. Bush is running for president. So they said, what we want you to do, announce the guy, what country he's from or from the international team. That's it.
Okay.
No ad-libbing. Don't do anything at all to make it
no character voices.
No character voices. And I don't know whether it was the first one or the second one I was doing. I think it was the first one. And flash forward to the afternoon, George Herbert Walker Bush is on the first tee. And he is going to be announced, along with, I think, the heads of the different tours around the world, the Asian tour, the Australian tour. The President's Cup essentially features the people from the non-European countries against the United States. That's how it works. So Paul, and I remember what he said, introduces George H.W. Bush to a nice round of applause, but he introduces him by saying, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, the I think it's the 43rd president of the, or is it the 41st?
He would have been the 41st
president of the United States and a very nervous father, George H.W. Bush," which is, I think, sweet and tender and classy and nice, talking about that he's nervous about his son running for president. They apparently come to Paul and say, "Paul, you know, we won't need you doing this anymore." They come to me and say to me,
they cut him right that moment?
They tell him they don't want him to do it the following day.
Wow.
And they come to me and said, "Would you be willing to double up? I think it's on Saturday. Would you be willing to double up because we have let Paul go because of this?" At the time, I didn't know the circumstances. I said, "Well, that really sucks. Just let me know. I hope that can be figured out." In the meantime, Paul Berry contacts the powers that be. And this was really BS that they gave him that hard time. Because, look, an ad lib, yeah, okay, he broke your little rule. But it's no big deal. It was introducing the 41st president
of the
United
States. And
I'm sure
it was well-received. God, I mean, that's perfect. That's what you want.
The way I understand the story, Paul Berry indicated to them, he said, "Okay, that's fine. I'll just, I'll put in a call to my friend Norman Chad, who was writing for the Post at the time, and the Washington Post, and mentioned that the PGA Tour is racist." Paul Berry actually got his job back on the spot. By the way, it's a volunteer gig.
Yeah.
He knew how to work that system, and he got back. And I was so psyched about that and so proud of Paul Berry. And screw you, PGA Tour, for doing that. You know, I think we've seen their decisions early on. But, you know, there's
now
a Paul bunch of
power exclusively, brokers. He's exclusively announcing for the LIV Tour, isn't he?
You know, he's selling real estate.
I know.
We have an unboxing, Rob. I know we're running a little late here. Go ahead.
That's right. Mike, when you see this familiar logo, what do you think?
Bic Pens?
Yeah. So I have a lot of things that have to do with Elvis, but I had never seen this before, and I had to go through Bic.com to get this. Very excited about it. Got it a few days ago. Do you ever keep any of these around from your old radio days?
Razors?
Razor, yeah.
I do not. I was not, you know, I got out of the hand editing game after I stopped being the production director at Power 105.
Well, everyone got out of it 40 years ago.
Yeah, but yes. I still have a case of them that I took from CBS Radio.
Why he brings quarters to Frederick, Josh.
No,
that's
it's
why
because
he does
it's a handy thing to have at your desk, like an X-Acto knife, but it's a razor. For example, all this tape and stuff.
Just stop for a second. Okay. It's handy to have a case of naked razor blades at your desk. For what purpose?
For example, what about opening this box?
You can use a knife. You can use a pair of scissors.
Do you keep a knife at your desk?
I open boxes with steak knives that I have in the kitchen, and then I throw them in the dishwasher after I do it.
Are they still dripping with A1?
No, it's just like you use a knife or scissors.
No, I use a razor.
And by the way, if you use a naked razor, you have a potential for disaster if it slips and severing your finger.
Mike, that's the excitement that keeps my life worth living.
This is, now, I don't want to pick on you too much today.
No, I am as God made me.
You are a hoarder.
No, yes, no.
We went through your desk drawer last week.
That's true. I do save a lot of things, but Mike, I think a hoarder wouldn't be able to produce things he has because they're disorganized. I mean, all of my things are alphabetized. All of my things are orderly. All of my things are in sections of my basement.
Can I ask you a question, Josh?
Yes.
Have you learned more about Rob Spiewak since working on this show? I mean, as far as your impressions coming in, obviously you heard us all on the radio, but do you get him a little bit more now?
A little bit. I mean, it's a lot of what you hear on the radio is the real Rob.
It's the real Rob.
And I think we saw yesterday that maybe that energy is a little bit of a cover up.
Mm-hmm.
For being
real. Could be. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have your on-air persona, but as far as my key...
But these are all real obsessive-compulsive things you do, like keeping razors.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't throw those away if your life depended
on it. Well, I throw
them
away when they get dull, and then I get
more
out of
the case. I'm talking
about
the case of
have to have them. Like, what if you were to trim something, like a... For example, okay?
Like your pubes?
No. Nothing personal like that.
Personal hygiene?
Like, you see... Do you see behind me the Mike O'Mara Show sign I have?
Yes.
Okay. When I printed that out, I needed to cut it to size, so I used a ruler and a razor.
What about a box cutter?
That's not going to give you... Well, I have one.
Or scissors.
Yes, scissors.
I have a box cutter. I have scissors. But this is going to give you the best, cleanest cut. I also, in my garage...
What's that, Josh?
How many more sharp objects sitting over there on his desk?
I have a scraper.
It's a weapon center over there.
No wonder my kids don't approach me when I'm working. I also have a paper cutter, you know, a schwink kind of paper cutter.
Like the kind that you chop?
Yeah, I have that in the garage, but I mostly use that to make jukebox labels. Because those have to be really straight.
Okay, this is an area of compulsion that is interesting. You have probably... cutting tools that you don't truly require, right?
I also have, does this count as a sharp object? Nail clippers?
It's another cutter.
Yeah, that wouldn't go onto an airplane, would it? I think that's it.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to your
dagger.
You have a dagger.
I do.
Is it a Nazi dagger?
It's not a Nazi dagger. It's a Greek dagger. Ta-da!
Why do you have that? That is a real dagger.
It's a dagger.
It looks pretty sharp.
It is.
Why do you have that?
This was, I think, technically a letter opener that my grandfather... It was a gift from his sister when she went to Greece.
But a legit, not really designed to be a letter opener.
No,
a
it's a dagger.
Dagger.
Yeah, it is. Oh, and of course I have the best sharp thing of all times that I keep displayed while we're here. I might as well show you. It took some amount of research, but the knife that they used to kill the woman in Psycho... that Norman Bates used or Mother Bates used was, I think the name on it, the brand is a Forstner. It's a Forstner 12-inch butcher knife. And that's the knife they used in the movie. So I thought I should have one.
Jesus Christ, Rob.
I love the movie Psycho.
Rob.
And so that's the knife that you see when, you know.
And you just have it back. Yeah. Was it that big, the one
that they
used?
Yeah, it's 12-inch. I bought the 10-inch, but it was wrong. So I gave the 10-inch to my son.
And you just have it lying down in your office.
Yeah. My mom cut herself on it.
How'd she do that?
She touched the blade.
So it's super sharp.
It's wickedly sharp.
I never, you know, how many? 30 plus years, 32 years. I never figured the guy out ever.
We just went through a dozen sharp objects.
Sharp
objects. Within arm's reach.
I think it should be referred to as the Sharp Object Studio in Leesburg, Virginia. So what is that?
And keep in mind, the only thing I've ever earned, I've really, really cut myself on is a food processor blade.
And that was a bad cut.
That was a three-stitch cut. But
all right, let's get to the unboxing. Let's see what you got.
I opened it with the razor. And in here, first time I'm seeing them. This is great. These are four limited edition Elvis Bic lighters and four limited edition Marilyn Monroe lighters. Let's see if I can get the glare off. There's the Elvis.
Oh, there it is. And that's not, those will never leave the case, right?
Never, never. They're going to go up on the Elvis shelf.
That's pretty. Who sent you those? Those are terrific.
I bought them.
Oh, you bought them?
Yes.
Mike. I thought it was a gift.
It's a gift.
No, you got to know. You got to know that when any Elvis thing comes out, they email me directly. So I got an email from the Bic Corporation that was coming out. There's also a new release coming out in August. I'll put this up on the Elvis shelf, which I can show you if you like, or maybe another time, maybe on the bonus show.
Can I piggyback on this unboxing right now?
Sure, yeah.
I'm going to unbox this right now.
What? You haven't eaten it yet?
I haven't. It's been in the studio the whole time.
Good for you.
You know what they say about feed a cold?
Yes, and starve a fever.
Yeah, but go grab some ketchup.
This is 210 calories.
Damn it. I spit.
That's nothing.
No, because you know why? Because it's all wafer, Mike.
Yeah, but it's so good. Oh, shit. Oops.
Mike! Mike dropped his Kit Kat. Right. You know what? Hi, if you had a dagger, you could pick it up by stabbing it.
I don't know if I have anything sharp. I have liquid IV. Right.
That's
here.
Not
look at
sharp.
That. See, yeah. That's an endorsement right there, people. Look at that. Look at the,
yeah,
the
ready to
pads
go.
Of that. I have the Rob Spiewak playing cards, you know. And
you can get a paper cut on the box, maybe.
And they're fantastic.
And they're also, Mike, they're also Mike O'Mara playing cards.
I have the paper holder right now, yes, for my copy that I
have you
right
no here. Scissors at your workstation?
Hold on, I'm opening this up right now. So see, this is Carla's desk that we moved in here.
Oh, okay.
So I have
divorce papers.
I have hand sanitizer for my kids' school.
Oh, Mike, after you cut yourself, don't use that.
Hey.
What? What?
Hey, Rob. Look at that. Yes, hooray. See, I have sharp objects, too. All right.
Good for you, Mike.
Thank you. Hello.
Yeah, but Mike, you know what I'm going to get you for your birthday? A dagger. A dagger.
A lovely dagger.
A lovely dagger. You might need one.
I've teased it. I will tell you all about it. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, it is what I've learned. And I don't know why I'm thinking about it recently. I might have seen something on the magic box, but I will impart that wisdom of the
age. Love wisdom. Love wisdom.
To you. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thanks to Dermglow Skin. You know, I've dropped over 80 pounds. 83. Been in a holding pattern. 82 pounds. I'll let you know. I got down as low as 239, and now I'm up to 244. But I was up higher than that, and I erased that because I got the products from Carla, and they're cheaper and easier than ever. We're talking lower prices, faster shipping. DermglowSkin.com offers medical weight loss. Semaglutide, or Tirzepatide delivered straight to your door. It's the real deal, and no insurance is needed. Get excited. Feel like yourself again. Lose 15 to 26% of your weight from the comfort of your couch. Just go to DermglowSkin.com, click the weight loss button, take the quiz, and qualify. Real results, real fast, and lower prices than ever. Stop the food noise and reclaim your true self. And now, ask about raising your testosterone and balancing your hormones. Reach out to Carla for any inquiries. She's dedicated to assisting you. DermglowSkin.com with the lowest prices ever. Let's go.
Let's go.
Gentlemen. Welcome back to the show. This is just a quickie that I wanted to share with everybody here.
Sure.
My old man, who, and I think it's after we had the World War II author of Beverly Hills Spy on last week. It made me realize that... real heroes are the quiet ones. And that's what I wrote down. I say, heroes are quiet.
You've said this before. You have.
My father told me that, and I believe it. I really do. Because you know what? Reading that book, this guy started out as a war hero. And he had rescued a guy from the drink and that had fallen off a ship, and he got a great deal of notoriety in World War I. Well, when you read that book about Beverly Hills Spy, what he did after that was he parlayed it into relationships, and he told everybody about it, and it was like, yap. And I really do, I've heard Medal of Honor winners say that the real heroes didn't come back. And I think that's one of the truest things that you will ever hear. But there are heroes that, you know, when we're talking about, and I'm talking specifically about physical courage here, where you put your ass on the line and you do something and then you're quiet about it. That to me is what it is. I never trust the individuals that come out and participate in something, as much as I should. There are a lot of Navy SEALs out there that are still adhering to the code of the Navy SEALs where you won't know who they are.
Right.
You will not know who they are. And I think that I've seen these particular individuals that will look unkindly on the individuals that want to talk about the raid or talk about what they do. Because there's certain people that I think that there is a level of discipline that I guarantee you I would not have to do something special. And let me tell you what it is. I learned this also by telling everybody I see, oh, don't do that. Stop it. I tell everybody I see that that I got in this car accident. I have the picture of it. I share it with everybody. And my wife now rolls her eyes. I've done it so many times now that she rolls her eyes. And that's the idea of doing something with amazing bravery and then perhaps participating in a group like the SEALs that have a code of silence where they're not supposed to, especially if they're continuing to work. I have such incredible admiration for that. Yeah. If you hear somebody that's talking about how scary brave they are and what they do, I don't think they're as brave as they probably want you to believe
they're
they are.
They're looking for confirmation for their bravery, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And for example, if you were to meet a Navy SEAL, first of all, they don't get in car accidents. But they wouldn't show you a picture, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very careful drivers.
You want to talk about compulsive? And so that my father said, the guys that come back from war and that have really saved a bunch of buddies, a lot of those guys are quiet. And you see, people that have saved lives, and they said the guys that are real heroes didn't come back. I just, the admiration I have, because the discipline involved, the self-discipline, the control of, keeping that on the down low. And in many cases, they just don't feel like they honor the people that didn't make it by their silence. And you see a guy, like Gordon Liddy, for example, who marketed that story of his hand over the flame PR firm did it, right?
Yeah.
Gordon, that was Gordon's narrative. Gordon liked talking about what a tough guy he was.
Yeah, tied himself to a tree in a thunderstorm, survived.
Look what I've done. Look at me. Look at how tough.
He survived isolation by watching the ants. It's all in his book. And
Wrote a book
possibly about fabricated. Probably enlarged from the reality of it.
Stories can be blown up, overblown to a level. So the idea that when I run around, man, I mean, I don't care who it is. I will show the picture. I have it right here. It's handy. I bet you if I go to my photos on my phone right now, that will be the very first one that pops up. And
as a favorite?
I didn't have to wait. There it is. I did not scroll. I did not do anything. There it is. It's like, take a look at this.
Yeah.
Take a look at this. Shut up, Mike. Okay. You walked away from the car.
Mike, how about let's invent a new narrative for it? How about you used your car to fight terrorists?
I was thinking we replace your step and repeat with just your car.
I think that truly it is... you do when you go through an experience where you could have gotten badly hurt. It's you just want to scream it. You want to scream I have never served my country, and I have amazing appreciation for
Mike.
People
I believe we both have served our country in the field of laughter.
Sure, we'll go with that, Rob. I admire the people that do that, and the people like my father. And my mother's first husband, who lost his life flying sorties off an aircraft carrier at the end of World War II. Incredible. And I just wanted to, share that segment.
Wisdom
for you, ladies and gentlemen. What I've learned, heroes are mostly quiet. We on this show are not quiet at all.
Mike, may I offer some breaking news?
Yes, please do.
Justin Timberlake has been arrested and in custody in New York for a DWI. So watch out for the perfect life of Justin Timberlake.
Wow. In the Hamptons.
Yeah, in Sag Harbor. You're familiar with this area?
Last night, I'm taking it that...
overnight. This morning. Early of the morning, yeah. So he's in jail.
Man, oh man. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I hope he survives this. Married to...
Jessica Biel?
Biel. That's right. The lovely Jessica Biel.
They're going to love him. They're going to love him in prison.
On that note, thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Jesus, Rob. He's a dreamy man.
You stop it.
Hope they put him in solitary.
No! You'll watch the ants.
Damn, bring me off a piece of that. I never knew Justin Timberlake.
We did that yesterday.
Okay, we'll be right back. Hats.
Love them.
Still thinking about Justin Timberlake. By popular demand. We now have an extremely limited run of the brand new TMOS summer cap, the ultimate accessory for fans who want to show their support while staying cool. It's available in vibrant red, crisp white, classic light blue, or sleek black, ensuring there's a perfect match for everyone. Enjoy its lightweight, breathable, and moisture-wicking design that keeps you comfortable no matter how hot it gets. Also, it's your last chance for the official TMOS Don't Get Happy Society playing cards. After this week, they're gone. Don't miss out. Perhaps buy both. So, hurry up and support the show you love. Every purchase keeps the laughs coming. TMOSstore.com, the source for all things TMOS. Official, authentic, and awesome. Thank you for your support. And remember that motto, Rob Spiewak.
That's right. The TMOS store, the world's most unusual lumberyard.
That's not correct, Rob. Remember that motto. Rob, that's the wrong one.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll give it right.
Thank you.
The flip side.
If you don't buy it, we won't sell it.
Notice how he didn't talk over the intro to his thing. He likes that. He's obsessive that way. Just like he's got sharp objects surrounding him over there.
Yeah. You know, I never really noticed how many I had.
Justin Timberlake could use that knife in prison.
He could use the dagger.
Yeah, the dagger. Keep it in his socks. Very good.
Here's a shiv, Justin. Mike, big news for you NBA fanatics as the Celtics take the lead for the most titles won. The Celtics won in a rather unremarkable fashion last night.
My little man got into it. Right,
the best team in basketball all year. All the work. All the sacrifice.
106-88 over the Mavericks.
Massive expectations. Ends tonight here. It's over. Time to say it again, Boston. Anything's possible.
So not really an exciting end to the game when they're just pacing. However, going into the half, there was a remarkable moment. I think you'll like this. Pritchard is one of the players for the Celtics. Time was running out, and Mike, he just decided to go for a half-court shot.
4 seconds to go. Missed free throw. Horford the rebound. Here's Pritchard. He loves these. Puts it up half-court of the buzzer. Bang!
You got it?
He did.
Pritchard at the buzzer with a three-pointer.
That was really fun.
They just
that.
Could do no wrong, and what an incredible! Do you follow the basketball game, Josh Roca?
I am not a fan of the NBA. Any game that ends with 20 seconds of guys just standing around didn't seem very exciting of a win.
Do you like shows? Do you like shows that end with 20 seconds of people chewing? Because Mike is that. I really thought that Kit Kat was going to make it to see another day, but it's gone. It's gone.
Oh, that's one of my favorite candy bars.
I know.
I'm trying not to do that thing on mic.
I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did. There's a comic. His name is Ryan Goodcase. And they say comedy is all about timing. And I know that is something that people say, but he takes it to the literal extreme by actually having an audience member count down backwards from 60 to make this joke last exactly 1 minute. And the one sort of qualifier is every time he points at the guy, he has to say what number he's on, and he incorporates it into his joke. This is a great experiment in comedy.
Comedy's all about timing. I'm going to demonstrate how good my timing is with this next joke. It's going to be exactly 60 seconds long. I need somebody's help. Sir, in the hoodie, the Nike hoodie, do you mind helping me with this? What I want you to do is to count backwards in your head from 60 to 0, and when I point at you, yell out what number you're on. Does that make sense? Go ahead and start. So I was talking to my dad recently, and my dad's a pretty old guy. He was born in, 1956. So I don't know how old that makes him, but it's sure older than
48.
Right, guys? So anyways, he's like a rough and tumble guy, and I was trying to brag to him one day. I don't know how it comes up, but he goes, Ryan, how many women did you sleep with in college? And I was like, I don't know, probably
40.
Which is a total lie.
Right.
It's a total lie. Like, if I was being honest with him and I counted all the women I've ever slept with throughout my entire life, the number would probably be closer to
27.
I did not point yet.
Great bit. What a fabulous bit. Brilliant.
It is so good.
Great bit.
Two.
Hey. Well, Wow. Yeah.
That
is just so creative.
And very clever and
like
also
that.
Not easy to do. I really
I
appreciate
that.
Mike, if I were to say to you the name John Heater, would it mean anything to you?
No, it would not. No, I don't know who you're talking
He's
about.
He's the star of one of your favorite movies.
Shawshank Redemption?
No, John Heater played Napoleon Dynamite. And
oh, okay.
This is sad because what is it? I think the 30th anniversary of Napoleon Dynamite, and he hasn't done anything notable since Napoleon Dynamite.
Right.
And it is such a classic film. He's bringing the character back, and I find this sad because he's bringing it back for Orida, the potato company, the frozen potato company.
Okay.
He's doing a commercial.
Hey, Josh, can we talk about that thing yet?
Yeah. Hey, there's next project.
We
can talk about it.
There is, you know, Josh does work with the Chad Dukes show.
Right.
And Chad Dukes is in a real movie with that dude.
It's definitely something where you have to tell people, hey, it's a real movie.
Yeah.
Like Nova Community College.
It's great.
It is a legitimate film, and it's in that Napoleon Dynamite style. Yeah. But go ahead with the Orida thing.
But
go
anyway, ahead. So he's 30 years older than Napoleon was, and Orida is now selling tater tot crush-proof pants.
20 years later, still haunted by crush tots.
Give me some of your tots.
Ding!
Now from Orida comes top protecting pants.
The man.
Jesus.
Look at that.
I'll eat as many as I want to. Gosh.
I'm a tater tot fan, but you know, how do you think he feels doing that 30 years later? He says good, but I don't know.
I think it's still, it's like iconic. I mean, the movie was a cult classic, and when you're a cult classic, I think you own it. Embrace it.
I think he's
it.
Doing
it
a roadshow now as well.
Oh, is he really?
Going around showcasing the movie.
So he does like a screening and then does questions?
Correct.
That's cool. That's cool. We'll have more on that because, you know, Chad's going
to
come Chad on and talk about the show.
To talk to him. And if people want to look up the trailer for John Hader's new movie with Chad, it's Tapawingo.
Tapawingo, and it looks funny as hell.
That's
it
a
looks
street
funny
in
as
Vienna.
Well
did
that,
you know that, Mike?
Tapawingo is?
Tapawingo, yes, right off Nutley.
Tapawingo.
Tapawingo. Have you ever, Mike, when you go to Indianapolis, as I know you always do,
yes.
Do you ever eat at Plantastic Indy?
It's fantastic.
The vegetarian restaurant.
Oh, it's great. They actually, they boast more varieties of leaves than any other restaurant.
But the thing is they don't want kids in their restaurant, and they've gotten tremendous backlash saying no kids at Plantastic Indy.
No children.
Well, I got to start because it's sort of a jump cut up front. The lady, you're going to hear the owners here. She says, this is not Chuck E. Cheese. And I like her pronunciation.
This is not Chuck E. Cheese. This wasn't made for babies. That's the sad truth.
The owners post sites unsanitary conditions as their reasoning, saying some have left dirty diapers on the table and their breasts uncovered when breastfeeding.
But neither of us have ever eaten at a restaurant where someone would openly expose a breast in public to feed. Jeez. Only when in our own restaurant has this happened. One would think and expect common decency and respect for others would be the norm.
On Sunday morning, the owners woke up to extreme negative reaction to the post. Most of it calling them out for arguing breastfeeding is unsanitary.
Now, they go on and on about the breastfeeding, and
What a horrible name, what horrible people, what a horrible concept, and I'm sure the food is horrible, too.
Well, I just, you know what, I have to side on the fact that they shouldn't let people in that put dirty diapers on the table. Not
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but that's BS. They're
I know it is.
People
I know
with
it is.
Dirty diapers on the table. That's disgusting. That people don't do that. It's kids. Come on. Shut up.
So don't go to Plantastic Indy, Mike. Boo.
What a horrible name. Sounds like plastic.
I don't care
it?
For it. Let's close with this. You know I couldn't go today without letting it pass that Paul McCartney turns 82 today. And
is this your guy's birthday today?
Yeah, he has all the money, doesn't he? We can't play the music because of the way the rules are. But I go back to one of my favorite moments. This is the first time he did Letterman. And I believe it was his first time back in the Ed Sullivan Theater since the Beatles played Ed Sullivan.
So he didn't do Letterman until he got Letterman got over to CBS?
Yeah, it was actually, it was for the Out There tour. So probably 10 years ago. And okay. What they did was very cool. And it's all on Dave's site. They did the interview with Dave, and then they performed on top of the marquee. They made the stage on top of the Letterman marquee.
I remember
and
that.
They shut down like 57th Street because there was just thousands of people. But This is the first question that Dave asked Paul. This is not his music. This just shows Paul with his pretty great sense of humor.
You're one of the people, obviously, that we've tried to get on the program as a guest about every week, maybe every other day. We would call and find out, can he be on the show, and can he be on the show? And after the first 15 years, we started to get our feelings hurt. And now it's been close to 25, 30 years, and I just need to know, going forward, any problems that we don't know about?
I don't like the show.
Oh. Well. Okay. We'll make a note of that. We'll put that in your file. By the way, Sir Paul doesn't care for the show.
So happy birthday, Paul. Thank you for all the great music. Love it.
Oh, thanks for picking me up today, fellas. A little under the weather in the sick house. Mrs. O'Mara has taken to her bed. She has the same grip that I do.
Oh, no.
Should be a fun afternoon in the O'Mara household.
Stay hydrated, both of you.
Thank you so very much for listening to the program. We truly appreciate it. And I'll be sending out best wishes to Justin Timberlake, Rob Spiewak. I hope he doesn't get, I hope he doesn't get a boyfriend in the
Mike, Times. All I know is this, is that a stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet.
For Josh Jerok and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Be careful, Justin.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'll recommend your services to anyone I know who has diabetes.
I got nowhere else to go!
Whether you're starting or scaling your company's security program, demonstrating top-notch security practices and establishing trust is more important than ever. Vanta automates compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001 and more, saving you time and money while helping you build customer trust. Plus, you can streamline security reviews by automating questionnaires and demonstrating your security posture with a customer-facing trust center, all powered by Vanta AI. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, Flow Health, and Quora use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/go. That's vanta.com/go for $1,000 off.